Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
This life within me cries, I know my Redeemer lives.
The very same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn. Gentle hand that holds me when I'm broken.
They conquered death to bring me victory. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Testify, this life within me cries, I know my Redeemer. He lives to take away my shame, and he lives forever. I'll proclaim that the pain for my sin was the precious life he gave, but now he's alive and there's an empty grave. And I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer. Testify, this life within me cries, I know my Redeemer. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer.
Healing.
We are glad to have you listening today, but would you like even more quality Bible teaching? If so, please visit our website where you can listen and watch past episodes and learn and interact with others as we focus on God's Word. The place to get started is our website, calvarywv.com. We would also love to have you visit with us in person. Mount Calvary is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia, at the Westmoreland exit, half mile north of the I-64-I-77 split. To learn more, visit calvarywv.com.
Of defeat, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The tomb where soldiers watched in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen indeed. Now, those words are familiar to Christians, have been for centuries, but they come directly from the pages of Scripture. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 34, there were two disciples who had just encountered the risen Lord. They came to a larger group of disciples, and here's what they said, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed." Now, notice they use the word indeed after risen. That's important because they are giving the verification this is true. It's like he has risen for sure, for real. You can count on it. You can trust in this. This is not a fairy tale. We have heard, we have seen, we've experienced. We know that the Lord is risen. And friend, he is risen. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a legend. This is real. And it has effects throughout all eternity, obviously, but it has effects that affect us today. So I want to just draw your attention to the fact that he is risen indeed. And we want to look at it from this point of view, and I hope this will be helpful to you, is that Jesus, in all of the baggage of life, the drama of life, the brokenness of life, that he comes and he enters into this brokenness. He enters into our hurts. He enters into our needs. And how can he do that? Well, it comes down to this reality that he has to be alive to be able to do that. And the fact that he is risen and risen indeed assures us that he can come into our lives and he can do wondrous things in the here and now, and he promises us glorious things in the future yet to come. So you come along and walk with me as these two walk on a little village toward a village called Emmaus, and they have a very interesting walking partner, and you probably already know this story, but verse 13 begins this account. "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." So miraculously, this was part of God's plan. He wanted to be unveiled at a certain point. They were walking with Jesus, but they didn't recognize him as who he was. So they're walking along, but notice how Jesus comes. He comes and just starts walking with them. He's going to engage them in conversation in just a moment. But he wants to enter into our brokenness. He wants to enter into yours. All those areas where we need someone to fill up that space, that gap, that hurt, to bring healing and wholeness and safety and security. Friends, the great news is Jesus is that one. And even better news is Jesus is alive, for he is risen. Indeed. Now let's look at some of the categories. There's some interesting things here. And what we need to do simply now, bring our brokenness to the Lord. Bring our baggage to the Lord. Lord, here's who I am. Here's where I am. I bring this to you. You enter in. And we need to see him as being able and have confidence and faith that he's able to bring healing in the midst of all those things in life. Now there's several emotional cues that you see throughout this text. And I find this fascinating that there's so much of what they were feeling. And it sort of brings this story to life, if you will. The first one is in verse 17, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" And it says that they were discussing about the events, the recent events of Jesus and his trial, his betrayal, his crucifixion, all that. And Jesus asked them a question. Tell me what's the nature of this conversation. What is this all about? Notice he says, as you walk and are sad. He could see it in their face. He knew that they were sad. Just like we look at each other and we can see in our own faces that we indeed have some sadness. Sadness, let's see if we can define it. Sadness is the gap between what we want to keep and what we have lost. Sadness is all about loss, feeling like we've lost something. And in that space between what we want to keep and what we've lost, sadness filters into that space. So you think about what they had lost. They had lost their friend. They had lost their hope of the future because they thought, now you'll see this later, so we thought he was the one that was going to set everything right in Israel, and now he's gone. We didn't expect this. All of our dreams, we've lost them. Our hope is lost. Our friend has been lost. Our future has been lost. But Jesus comes and he enters into that. Now, what are you sad about? What am I sad about? Where are those areas of sadness? Where are the things that we have lost that we grieve over? Well, we may continue to experience some level of that grief, and it doesn't mean it's erased. The hurts are erased, but Jesus wants to enter in and fill that gap and give us strength to go on, hope for the future, to bind up our broken hearts. And yeah, there might still be some scars and some brokenness there, but he wants us to move forward in faith and confidence and finding joy in the security that he can give. Now, how does that work? You stick around to the end of the story, and we'll see how that works. But there's another cue as you go down through. And they began now to tell him, verse 18, then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, so one of them we know is Cleopas, the other disciple is unnamed, it was going to Emmaus. We saw earlier it's about a 7-mile journey, so not far by walking, 3 hours walk, depending on the speed and the terrain. I would suspect that the other disciple was probably Mrs. Cleopas, okay? It's probably a husband and wife returning after they come to Jerusalem, not only for the Passover, but to be around Jesus, and then all these things happened that led to his demise. Or so they thought. So they're going back. So he says this now, in the middle of verse 18, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, have not known the things which have happened here in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. They were filled with disappointment. They were filled with disappointment. We thought this was going to happen, but this indeed is what happened. Disappointment is the gap between what we expect and what we get. We thought this was going to happen. We had our hopes pinned on this, and then suddenly we got something completely different. They thought, and notice what he says here, they thought he was the one who was going to, verse 21, redeem Israel, cure all the injustice, make a golden age for Israel, fulfill all those promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all their descendants forever. He says, we thought this was coming and now we're left disappointed. Yes, and disappointments in life, I'm sure you do, as do I. But that gap between what we expected and what we get, that's where Jesus enters in. And sometimes those disappointments really were for our own good. Sometimes those disappointments are leading to greater good someday. And you just need to understand that he is there. He comes and walks with us. He talks with us. I love it how Jesus just sort of enters in. I'm walking along. What about this? What about that? And they have this conversation, not knowing it's Jesus. He wants to have that kind of quiet conversation with you through the Word of God, through the Spirit who indwells us. And in your disappointments, know that He's the one you turn to. Not to ourselves, not to try to overcompensate or not try to just kind of wallow in our disappointments, but really to revel in the fact that He is the risen Lord. He is risen indeed. Only someone who's alive can enter into that space in our lives. Now, let's move on. There's another verbal, emotional cue that you see here in 22. Continuing, Cleopas talking. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb astonished us, and they did not find His body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said He was alive. You kind of think that maybe they'd have stuck around to see how that panned out, wouldn't you? But no, they just went ahead and left Jerusalem in their disappointment. Verse 24, and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Him. So we're going to add to this list confusion. In our sadness, He wants to fill that gap. In our disappointment, He wants to fill that gap. In our confusion, He wants to fill that gap. Now, confusion is the gap between what we see and observe and what we can really figure out and understand. We all have seen things that we like, what was that all about? What is the meaning of that? I don't get that. I don't understand that. And maybe we never will in this life, because God does not choose to reveal to us all the workings of His will and His ways. But here's the reality. We have a risen Lord who comes and will enter into that confusion. Now, He's about ready to enlighten them about what those women experienced and to talk to them and to show them that indeed Christ had to rise from the dead, be raised from the dead, and He had to rise again. And later He's going to show them, I'm right here. I'm right here in front of you. You're missing the point. So in their confusion, He enters in. What's some of the things you're confused about? Assemble your own list, by the way. I have mine. You'll have to get your own list, okay? But why did that happen? Why did that opportunity not pan out? Why did that relationship not work? Why did I have to deal with that sickness or that adversity? Why? You know, there's a really an interesting thing. You maybe have heard me say it before, but it really helps me, and I trust it'll help you. And it's simply this. When we are asking the why question, you know, the why me, why this, why now, especially when things are hurt and we're confused, well, we need to change the question from why to who. Why this? No, it's all about the who. Who is the one who saves us and loves us? The one who is alive, the one who is risen indeed. You don't have to know all the what's or the why's if you know the who, because He knows everything. He knows what it's all about. He's going to put it all together. Well, there's a verse in Romans 8, verse 28. You know it well. We Christians quote it to ourselves and to each other all the time. All things can work together. All things work together for good to them who love the Lord and who are walking according to His plan and all that sort of thing. But notice it doesn't say everything is good. It says all things in His hands and His providence can work together for good. He's up to something. And even in our astonishment, even in our confusion, He wants to fill that gap. And what's He wants us to do? Say, Lord, I trust You anyway. I don't have to understand to believe You. Some people are stuck on this. You know, if I could just really figure God out, then I'd believe in Him. If I just really could understand why life has been this way, then I would trust Him. No, you trust Him first. And someday, ultimately, it might make sense in this life and in the life to come. It'll all be bound up in Him. And notice so much awaits yet future. You know, we have all of our past and all of our baggage, all the stuff going on. But out there in the future, that's why it says in Revelation, the day will come when Christ will wipe away every tear from our eyes, that there'll be no crying or sorrow or death. He wants to bind up those wounds permanently and once for all, and all of our questions are going to be resolved in the eternal who of who He is, the risen Lord, the one who is risen indeed. So He comes into that gap. And there's one more, and you see it right here, verse 25, okay? And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? You've missed the point all along of the Scriptures. But notice He says, you're slow to believe. Here's where Christ enters into our brokenness, our sadness, our disappointment, our confusion, and lastly, even into our unbelief. Unbelief is the gap between what we have heard and what we can verify. You know, that which I've heard, and what can I prove? Well, you know, so much of what we have in the Scriptures, we just have His word on it. But John tells us that Jesus said to Thomas, after Thomas doubted, He said, blessed are those who have not seen yet believed. We just take God at his word. They're in line for a special reward, a special blessing from him. So he says to us, just believe. Just believe. In that span between what I've heard and what I can verify, just say, all I know is this. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, no matter what men may say, that we come to him, that we cling to him, that we honor him. You have some sadness today? You have some disappointment today? Have some confusion today? Dealing with some unbelief today? Let Jesus enter in and speak to us. Now, how does this kind of unfold and work? Well, first of all, we are healed. Our hearts are restored by meeting him, okay? And we see this the rest of the story. And I'm going to read begin 28 and then go down through 31. And they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is far spent. So they were going to just kind of stay there. Maybe it's mid-afternoon, late afternoon. It's not clear dark yet, because they did have time to get back to Jerusalem. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. It's interesting, at that moment, verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. All he wanted to do was to verify to them, and through them to everyone of the other disciples, and through them to all of us as well, that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. But he told them, I love how it says in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He says, well, let me just tell you the scriptures. Oh, wouldn't we long to have that teaching of the Lord Jesus? Just start it back in the Old Testament, the law of Moses, and come forward and teach us all those things that we've missed. It wasn't in the will of God to do that. He wants us to dig that out in our own study, but that would have been a wonderful thing that they heard, than they alone heard. But notice it says that as he broke the bread, maybe that was reminiscent of the Last Supper or some other meal that they had spent together, that they had enjoyed together. But it's at that moment, they break the bread, it says, their eyes were opened and they knew him. They encountered him. Healing comes by spending time with him, by meeting him. We meet him through his word. We meet him through time spent praying. We meet him through time spent with his people. Are you spending quality time in his word? Are you spending quality time in prayer? Quality time with his people, listening as the word of God is taught, as we study it together. We try to give you every opportunity to do that as a church, and you need to take advantage of every opportunity that you have afforded to you to just have your meetings with him, to arrive at this point where we are spending our time with our Savior. We talk about this often. We talk about getting alone with God. We need to be with him daily. Be in the word of God daily. There's nothing else compares to being in God's word every single day to refresh and to renew your mind and your heart. And then we need to be in church. Go to church. We need to get along with God. We need to be with God's people. We need to stay together. We call it this way. To get in a group, to be studying with other people. And then what we've learned, put it into practice and serve other people. Get busy in serving God. So a heart is healed by him. If you want to have a healed heart, spend time with Jesus, because he will enter into that gap of disappointment, that gap of sadness, that gap of confusion, that gap of unbelief. You spend time with him. You're doing a good thing by spending time listening to his word today. Make sure that we continue on with that. Now, verse 32. And they said to one another, this is after Jesus suddenly vanished, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Our hearts are healed by meeting him, being with him, but by then hearing him, listening to what he wants to say to us. He came along and he just talks to them. And he's just showing us that what they experienced in sensory reality, you and I can experience in faith reality every day. What's he want to say to me? What am I hearing? And as we listen to his word, the Spirit of God takes it and energizes it. Notice he says, it burned within us. It's infused with energy, heat, passion. We need to listen to God's word till it touches us. We need to study God's word till it grips us. We need to study God's word until it moves us in a particular direction. To either it causes us to confess our unbelief and our disobedience, or it compels us to move on in our obedience and our service for God. Listen to him. Listen. And by the way, understand, some of us grew up in church like I did. And I had a privilege of that. I had parents that took me to church from as long as I could remember. So being in church, hearing someone preach, teach God's word is very normal for me. But you know, there's a certain danger of people who are very comfortable with the environment of the teaching of God's word. Yeah, I've heard that. Check that off. Story of the disciples on the Emmaus. Heard that 100 times. Got it. Understand. No, there's something God wants to say to us. And we need to come with that sense of expectation, that sense of hunger and thirst to say, Lord, I want something from you today. Speak to me. I want to encourage you to do something. As we open God's Word, and we prayed earlier in our online service, but as we enter into God's Word, I want to encourage you to, when you open this book, say this prayer, Lord, speak to me. Your servant's ready to hear. Speak to me. If nothing else, it reminds us to be listening, but it also invites our heart to connect with him. So pray before you read, invite him to speak. And then they do something. Verse 33, so they rose up that very hour. Here's that U-turn. Okay, we talked about earlier. They make a U-turn, head right back to Jerusalem. And they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. So they come, there's the disciples, the 11 all gathered together, and they come rushing in, and here's what they said. Say, verse 34, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road, how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. They had a heart that was healed because they were serving him, and they served him by telling the disciples he was risen. He's risen indeed. They are still serving today. This is amazing. Their ministry continues, even in our hearts today, here all of these centuries and centuries later, to tell us the Lord is risen today. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to enter into our sadness, our disappointment, our confusion, our disbelief. He wants to come and have a meeting with us. He wants us to hear his words, and he still wants us to serve him. That message still resonates today. Why? Because we have a Savior who is risen. Who is risen indeed. He is the Lord who is over all. So we encounter him. So get busy serving him. We've already talked about that briefly, but serve him. There's somebody you need to tell. And we live in a day where we use these devices all the time, okay? You know, we're on our phones, we're on our electronic devices. You're probably using a device, obviously you're using an electronic device to watch this today. So I want to encourage you, use your interactions. Maybe you need to type into your social media feed, he is risen indeed. Let people know that you believe in him, that you're a follower of him. Maybe as we enter into this, what we call the Easter season, the resurrection celebration, that maybe there's someone you just need to remind, I serve a risen Savior. Maybe it's just a brother in the Lord that needs to be reminded. He's alive. He's there. He can take care of your sadness and all that. But we need to fixate on him. Our hearts are healed. Our brokenness begins to be healed as we spend time with him, we meet with him. As we listen to his word, really listen, and then as we start sharing this with other people. Now, something amazing happens in 38 or 36 and following, I should say. But notice, I'm not going to get into all this, but notice it says, and as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be still. Jesus shows up for the extra cover. We saw the Lord, he's risen indeed, and he's appeared unto Simon, and he said all these things to us, and suddenly Jesus shows up, and basically it's a way of saying, yes, that's true, now let me talk to you. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a Lord who is there for us. What I want to encourage you to do, let me just recap really quickly. It is simply this. Bring your brokenness to him. In your sadness, disappointment, confusion, unbelief, he's the person you look to. And this is a unique opportunity for us to focus on the fact that Jesus is the risen Savior, a living Savior. He's there for you. He wants to reach out and minister to you. Friends, I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on the risen Savior. And may this little phrase, taken right from verse 34 of our passage today, may that just continue to resonate in your hearts. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Now, let me just say this to you. If you're not one of his children, if you're not a follower of Christ, that you need to come to this place that you believe. And maybe you're waiting for some confirmation. Well, you have the text in front of you. You have the written record in front of you. You have the testimony of untold millions of people throughout the centuries who've faithfully followed the Lord. Many who've given their lives for Christ. Many of these disciples that we read about here gave their lives because they were willing to stake their eternity, their life, on the fact that Jesus was alive even after he was dead. You need to believe in him and come to him for your own salvation. And we need to simply do that, just simply believe. In the risen Lord. If we could help you with that decision, if we could help you come to Christ, answer your questions, just get in touch with us. We'd love to share with you how you can be one of his children too. Follower of Christ, he's risen. He's risen indeed.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.